Very glad to be able to be here this afternoon, to be able to worship God with you all. It's wonderful to be with brothers and sisters who are interested in worshiping God in spirit and in truth, who love God. You know that God loves you, and knowing that, you want to love God in return. We love each other. It's wonderful to be here this afternoon. I need to put a three right here. It's wonderful to be here this afternoon to worship God. And I want to introduce the lesson this afternoon by some lyrics from a song. I mentioned them to David Robinson somewhere out here. He says, I've never seen those things before. I never heard that. Is that from the Bible? Where's that come from? No, doesn't come from the Bible. Earlier this year, I was with my daughter, Rebecca. Some of you know Becca. She was with me. We were on a long journey in the car. And she clicked her phone and Spotify and the downloaded music on her phone right into the stereo in the car. And there we were listening to Becca's music as we drove down the road. And song came on. And I was listening. When it was over, I said, who's that? And she told me it was John Mayer. I said, well, let's hear it again. We listened to it again. After we were done the first, second time, I said, well, let's hear it again. And I wanted to hear this song again. Now, John Mayer, some of you may know, heard of John Mayer. He's not a religious guy. He's not a religious singer. And as far as I can tell, he's not a very, religion doesn't mean anything to him. He's probably the opposite of religion. He's a pop singer. This particular song is classified as a pop country crossover. And it's called In the Blood. And if you want to listen to it someday, you look up John Mayer In the Blood. And if you don't like John Mayer, you can look up the Home Free cover version of it. And maybe that'll, you know, fit things a little better. But this song echoes a question that I believe that people of all time have asked. It's a question that's always been interesting to me. I ask it about it. I'm always thinking about this very question. And the question is, can I change? Or am I destined to be just like my father was? And when I look at myself, and sometimes I see wrong ways that I've behaved in the past, and I wonder, am I determined to be who I am by the past influences in my life? Or maybe by my genetic makeup. Does my genetic makeup determine who I am? And really, do I not have any say in life about who I am? And those really are questions that I think about on a more regular basis. And I don't know if any of you think those, but I think we do. I think those are the same questions that a lot of us ask. And we get back to John Mayer. As for John Mayer, he's not an especially religious guy. I looked him up. I read a little biography on John Mayer. His parents were public school teachers. And we think, wow, he must have had a pretty good life. And then he writes this song, which is autobiographical and talks about his own life. And he starts asking the same kind of questions that I ask about my life. And I just wanted to share with you some of the lines in the song In the Blood. And he says, how much of my mother has my mother left in me? And how much of my father am I destined to become? And what about the feeling that I'm not good enough? Will it wash out in the water? Or is it always in the blood? In another verse he says, I can feel the love I want, I can feel the love I need, but it's never going to come the way I am. Can I change it if I wanted? Can I rise above the flood? Will it wash out in the water, or is it always in the blood? And will it wash out in the water, or is it always in the blood? So there are some questions there. Am I destined to be my mother and father? Am I destined to repeat the same mistakes they made? In another line, he asked, does a broken home result in another broken family? That's another line in the song. I feel like I'm never good enough the way I am. And can I change is the idea of, what if I wanted to change? Could I change? And those are universal questions. And what moved me about this song was John Mayer's not a religious guy. And I felt a connection with a non-religious guy and the questions he's asking about his life and the questions that I ask about my life. And I felt a connection. I thought, maybe here's a connection that I can make with people who don't know Jesus like I know Jesus, who aren't a child of God like I'm a child of God. Here's a place of connection that I can meet together with them. And I believe the Bible asks the same question. The first verse we have on the board up there is Jeremiah 13, 23. I'm not going to go and read or study Jeremiah with you, but Jeremiah poses the question, can the Ethiopian change his skin or the leopard his spots? And you know what? The answer to those questions seems no. That seems no. But I wondered, is that the final answer? Is that the end of the story there? Can I change? I hope so. I hope so for my life right here and now, and for life in eternity. We have to acknowledge the very great influence that genetics plays in our life, and we have to acknowledge the influence of our parents and our early family life. And yet I still ask that question, can I change? Can I rise above whatever negative influences there were in my life? And as I listened to Smith this morning, I wondered about Smith. He talked about the men in his family, and I wondered about Smith. Did he ever wonder, can I rise above the negative influences that I experienced in my family? And I wondered about other people, people who weren't raised in Christian families, and even people who were raised in Christian families. Negative influences we've experienced them all in our life. And can I change? And I hope so, for now and for life in eternity. The Bible's pretty clear in Romans chapter 3, verse 23. The Apostle Paul said, all have sinned. Everybody. And I acknowledge that about myself. That's where I've been. That's who I used to be. I've sinned. And the Bible then says in Romans 6 and verse 23 that the wages of sin is death. And you know what? If I can't change, then I'm stuck. I'm stuck in a never-ending circle of sin and death, sin of which is the wages is death. And that's just despair. And sometimes people are in despair. If I can't change, then physical and eternal death is all that I have to look forward to. But that's not what the Bible teaches. In Romans chapter 6, verse 23, although the Bible says the wages of sin is death, it goes on to say, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. In Christ, there's the promise and there's the hope of eternal life. Something in there changes. All I had to look forward to was despair and death, and then something changes. And one thing that changes in my life, in your life, is our relationship, our relation to Jesus. In sin, I was living outside of Christ. But back up there in Romans chapter 6 and verse 3, Romans chapter 6 and verse 3, the Bible says, or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? When I was baptized, I got into Jesus, and Jesus got into me, and things began to change. My relationship to Jesus changes. In Romans 6 and verse 4, therefore we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Something begins to change. We began to walk in newness of life. I had been in sin, and now I'm walking in a new life. I came out of the waters of baptism and began to change to walk in newness of life. How do I do that? You know, it's not that the water has anything particular to do with that, really. I obeyed God. I obeyed Jesus. I went down into the waters of baptism. God forgave me, and some other things happened there. I was added to the church. I became a Christian. I gained the promise and hope of heaven. Some things changes. But you know, when John Mayer wrote this song, I think he doesn't know really what happens in baptism. I think he thinks maybe in baptism your character or your nature changes. But that's not what happens in baptism. That's not what happens in baptism. Some things happen. But it's not a character change. In Romans chapter 6, verse 5, we might go on reading, for if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. In baptism, we gain a relationship to Jesus. We're united in his death, and we're united in the likeness of his resurrection. Number one, the resurrection is coming. And baptism reminds us of the resurrection. We're all going to be resurrected someday, and accountability to God is involved in that resurrection. And that is imprinted on my knowledge. There's going to be a resurrection. In Romans 6, verse 6, knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. We're no longer the slaves of sin. In verse 7, he talks about being freed from sin. The concept of no longer slaves means we're not slaves to the Old Testament. We're not slaves to the past. We're not slaves to destiny. We're free. And we can change. Romans chapter 6, verses 8 through 10. Now if we died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. Knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more, death no longer has dominion over him. For the death that he died to sin once for all, but the life that he lives to God. We live with Jesus. Death no longer rules. Despair, and the despair that comes with death only, and that's all there is, that despair does not rule our lives. We live, the Bible says, we live to God. Verse 11, he says, likewise, you also reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. We're alive to God in Christ. Things begin to change. In verse 12, he says, therefore, do not let sin, do not let. You have something to say in the matter. Do not allow, do not let sin reign in your mortal body that you should obey it in its lust. In verse 13, and do not present yourselves, your members, as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. Our members, our hands, our feet, our eyes, our ears, we do not allow them, we do not present them to sin, we present them to God for God's use. Things began to change. Sin does not have dominion. Sin does not rule our lives. We're not under law. Verse 14, Romans chapter 6. Sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under law, but under grace. We're not under law as far as salvation goes. Law doesn't save us. We're saved through a system of grace in Christ. We're under a system of grace. And so we can change, and it begins in Christ. In John 14, verse 6, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. In Christ, we change by determining to follow Jesus. The Word of God enters just here because we know Jesus through the Word of God. And this is an advantage that Christians have over non-Christians. We have Jesus to follow. And when we follow Jesus, we begin to change. We begin to change for the better. We begin to change in better ways. We become a better person. In the book of 2 Timothy chapter 6 or chapter 3 verse 16, the Bible says that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. All Scripture. And I wanted to notice that the Scriptures are profitable for doctrine, for teaching. They're profitable for reproof. They show us our mistakes. They correct us. They bring us back to the right, and for instruction in righteousness. And I wanted to focus on the word correction. Correction implies an error, a mistake, some bad behavior. But then it also implies that there is the ability to be corrected and change the bad behavior. The Bible itself, one of whose purposes is correction, the Bible itself implies that we can change. By the application of God's Word to our lives, we can change. The Bible itself talks about in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2, that as newborn babes, we are to grow. In the book of Ephesians, chapter 4, in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 14 and 15, We should no longer be children tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men and the cunning craftiness of deceitful plottings, but speaking the truth in love may grow up in all things into him which is the head, Christ. We grow, and grow implies change. We don't stay the same. When it comes to change in our lives, we as Christians, we have advantages. And if you want to change, being a Christian is the best way to get started. We have Jesus, the Son of God, as the perfect role model to follow. Follow me, Jesus would say numerous times. He left us an example that we ought to follow his steps. We have the Word of God to correct us, guide us, and teach us how to live right before God. And I want to talk about another advantage that we as Christians have. In the book of Acts chapter 2, the Apostle Peter preached Jesus. And finally, in Acts chapter 2, he got to verse 36. And he said then, "Therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ." And the Bible says in verse 37 that those who heard this, they were cut to the heart. They had a question, "What shall we do?" And they didn't say, "What's God going to do?" They said, "What shall we do?" And the answer from Peter was in Acts 2:38, "Repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins." Repentance and baptism are the response that is required of people who believe in Jesus. Peter didn't say, "Just believe," assuming belief though. He said, "Repent and let every one of you be baptized for the remission of sins." And when we believe and repent and then are baptized, God, because of Jesus, forgives our sins. The word remission in Acts chapter 2, verse 38, is a Greek word, aphesis, which may be translated, rightly so, remission. But this is also the same noun that's often translated as forgiveness. When we as Christians have in Christ is the forgiveness of sins. And that's an advantage to us. Without the forgiveness of sins, there would be no point in trying to change. What would be the use of it if you hadn't been forgiven? If God didn't forgive sins, what would be the point of trying to do better, to be the best that you can be if you didn't have the forgiveness of sins? In the book of Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 7, the writer says there, Ephesians 1, verse 7, "In him," in Jesus, "we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace." We have forgiveness. In 1 John chapter 1, verse 9, "If we confess our sins, he," God, "is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." If we follow his plan, God forgives. And forgiveness then motivates us to get back up when we fall, when we make mistakes. Forgiveness allows us to get back up and try again and again and again. Because change doesn't happen overnight. Change in our lives and change of character. By following Jesus through his word and forgiven, change can and change does happen in people's life. And let me add that this is true of in our relationships with other people, and it's true in our families. If we want change, people have to repent, and we have to be willing to forgive so that people can get back up and try again. If we want change, there has to be repentance and there has to be forgiveness. I want to talk about repentance just for a minute. The word metanoia, repentance, means a change of mind. And change is not only, though, about changing your mind. Change of mind is a first step and a first point in trying to change your life. Changing your life starts by changing your mind. I always remember Jesus' words in Matthew 23 and verse 26 when he said that we wash the inside of the cup first, so that, and we never need to forget those, so that there's a purpose to this, so that the outside will be clean also. Jesus preached repentance. In Matthew chapter 4, in Matthew chapter 4 and verse 17, Jesus would say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. In the book of Luke chapter 13 and verses, especially verses 3 and verses 5, Jesus would say, Luke 13 verse 3, I tell you no, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. And the same thing in Luke 13 verse 5. The apostles preached repentance. Peter preached it in Acts chapter 2 verse 38 when he said, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. The apostle Paul preached repentance in Acts chapter 17 in verse 30. He said, truly these times of ignorance God overlooked, but now commands all men everywhere to repent. Repentance is taught repeatedly through the Bible. And not only did Peter and Paul preach repentance, they commanded repentance. The command to repent ultimately comes from God. God, who created us, knows that we can repent. God does not command that which is impossible for the human to do. He knows that we can repent. And he commands to repent. And the commands to repent apply to everyone. They apply to Christians and they apply to non-Christians. Christians can change and non-Christians can change. You don't have to wait for God to do something miraculous in your life for you to begin to change. If you're not a Christian, you can change. There's the prodigal son in the book of Luke chapter 15. In Luke 15 verse 11, the story begins of a son, a father who had two sons, and one of them finally comes to the father and says, I want my share of the inheritance. And I think probably sadly so, the father decides to give the son what he asks. The son runs off into a far country and he begins to waste his living, the Bible says, with prodigal. And I like the definition of prodigal. I think it just means wasted. He began to live a wasted life. And in our language, in our slang today, a wasted life means something. He began to live a wasted life. But then the Bible says in verse 17 of Luke 15 that he came to himself. He came to himself. Something changed. A change of mind began to happen in his life. He realized his situation. He realized that in his father's house, even the servants had plenty and enough to eat, and he had little or nothing. He didn't just sit there in his sadness and his despair and wallow in that sad condition. He makes a decision in Luke chapter 15, verses 18 and 19. He says, I will arise and go to my father and will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you and am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. And he carried through. He set off for home. And he carried through on that plan. He began, when he got there to his father, he said, he arose, he came to his father. When he was still a great way off, his father saw him, had compassion, ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. The son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight, and am no longer worthy to be called your son. Repentance. That change of mind, when he came to himself, and when he began to do something about what his heart was feeling, he began to change his life. One of the great things about Christianity is that our lives can change. My life is changed. I'm not perfect, as in sinless. I'm not that way. But I am way better today. I'm way different than if I had never submitted my life to following Jesus. John Mayer's song asks the question, can I change? But in John Mayer's song, there's no answer. He doesn't know. He doesn't know if he can change or not. Practically the last words of the song is, will it wash out in the water or is it always in the blood? He doesn't know. You know, in the waters of baptism, our sins are washed away and we become Christians. But we still have to follow Jesus. If we want change to be real in our lives, if we want to be better, if we want to be the best version of ourselves that we can be, we have to follow Jesus. If we don't follow Jesus, if we don't do our part and if we don't give up sin, the water will do us no good. The water doesn't change our character. Our character changes when we follow Jesus. And we have to follow Jesus. The water, in the water, God forgives our sins, but our character doesn't change. Will it wash out in the water? We have to follow Jesus. Is it always in the blood? We acknowledge the influence of genetics and early family life on us, on our lives, but we're not destined to be our fathers. We're not destined to be our mothers. We can change, and we can come out of whatever difficult past and whatever kind of difficult situations you've experienced in your life, and we can live better lives, but only if we'll follow Jesus. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 8, Matthew chapter 8, verse 34. Jesus said, Matthew 8, verse 34. Or Mark, what am I saying Matthew for? Mark chapter 8 and verse 34. Jesus said, "Whoever desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me." Follow me, Jesus said. In the book of John, chapter 12 and verse 26. John 12, verse 26. Jesus said, "If anyone serves me, let him follow me. Where I am, there my servant will be also. If anyone serves me, him my Father will honor." If you want to serve Jesus, Jesus says, follow me. In 1 Peter 2, verse 21, Peter said, "For to this you were called." Jesus left us an example that we should follow his steps. We can change. Change doesn't happen overnight. It doesn't happen automatically. And it really doesn't happen just because you were baptized. It doesn't wash out in the water. Sin is forgiven in the water of baptism. But our character doesn't change. Our character changes when we decide to follow Jesus. We can change. It's not always in the blood. This afternoon, we would just like to say, if change is on your mind, if you'd like to be the better version of yourself, if you'd like to be better and do better, if you'd like to be the best you can be, you have all the advantages of the world. You can be baptized into Jesus. Your sins can be forgiven. You can rise up out of the waters to walk a new life, not letting sin rule and domineer in your life. You can follow Jesus. You have Jesus as that role model to follow. You can be the best you that you can be when you follow Jesus. If you're thinking about changing your life, now's as good a time as any to decide to change and to follow Jesus. We encourage you to think about Jesus and change that can happen in your life. And we want to encourage you to believe in Jesus and to repent, change your mind, and decide to follow Jesus and to confess Jesus as the Son of God and to be baptized for the remission of sin so that you can get back up and try again. And if sin comes back into your life, remember 1 John chapter 1 and verse 9. If we sin, God is faithful and just to forgive us if we confess our sins before him. This evening, you can be, you can change, I can change, and we can be the best that we can be because we follow Jesus. This afternoon, if we can help you be a Christian, we'll help you. If you need to ask your brothers and sisters to pray for you, we'll pray for you. Because of sin, perhaps public sin in your life, we'll pray for you that God will forgive you and that you'll be able to be strong and serve God in your life again. We're going to stand and sing a song that's been selected. If you come forward, we'll help you as is needed.